Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin. With all guests appearing on the BetQL phone line. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis's sports station.
Peeping and hiding. He is the man behind Bracketology. You know him. You love him. He is the face of March Madness. His name is Joe Lunardi. He got a new book coming out called Bracketology, March Madness, College Basketball, and the Creation of a National Obsession. Let's make him the giant interview.
Now, it's the giant interview presented by A-Team Roofing. Online at ateamroofers.com. The A-Team Roofing Giant Interview on 92.9's Jason and John Show.
Hey, Joe, it's Jason and John in Memphis. How are you?
Fellas, it's great to be on, and I appreciate it. Thank you. How are you doing?
Everything is, you know, we're in a pretty good place here in Memphis. Feels like, you know, that they have some basketball, some meaningful basketball left to be played. But before we get into that, you do have this new project coming out, this new book. And I'm sure you're asked this question only 12 million times a week, but I mean, you are the face of the tournament for a lot of people. And Bracketology is something that if you're a college basketball fan, you are checking religiously throughout the season. How do you become that? I imagine there's only one job like it in the United States of America. How did you get it?
Well, I'd like to say there was this grand plan. And, you know, I sat down one day 20 years ago and said, you know, if I do this, 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 and this, I can be that. But I think we all know that life really isn't that organized and linear. It was a matter of me loving the tournament, kind of always being fascinated by how it was put together, and then tinkering around with brackets on my own in the mid-90s, and then, you know, amazingly, Al Gore invented the internet, which, you know, allowed many of us to have platforms that didn't exist before. And in this case, it was a fledgling website at ESPN, and they started running my bracket projections maybe in February of that year. And unknowingly, I mean really unknowingly, it was crazy popular, even though you had to click, you know, halfway to China to get down deep enough to find it. Before, you know, there were pictures and fancy pages and pictures of me and click on this team and get their resume and all that stuff. It just really went to the core college basketball fans. I think, guys, in large measure because the process was so secretive,
mm-hmm.
and it was hard to know during the season, you know, where your team stood. It was this big mystery. Yet, you know, it's the essence of what, like, if you turn on a college basketball game in February, what do you most want to know? Are these teams in or are they out?
Yep.
Or if they are in, like, you know, are they a 2? Are they a 12? Like, is this a Final Four team? Is this a one and done team? At least by seeding? And it simply tapped into, Bracketology did, a passion for our sport that already existed. I didn't invent the sport or invent the passion. I just happened to have information about something that people really cared about.
The term itself, Joe, was there a change? Can you, I just wonder, and I haven't looked deeply on this, but Pat Riley I think trademark three-peat. Bracketology, we call you the bracketologist. Did you get in on this word? Could you have? Did you get in on this word early? Were you the inventor of the word itself?
Bracketologist was the first use. I was labeled by a reporter in my hometown of Philadelphia who was doing a story about Temple's chances that particular year.
Uh-huh.
And it might have even been a comment like local bracketologist or self-proclaimed bracketologist Joe Lenardi. And I mean, we're talking about the late 90s here, like when like people read newspapers.
Way back.
And that was where it appeared. And legally, the way what was explained to me was, by the time we got around to trying to do the Pat Riley thing, it was already a term in the public domain.
It was already out there.
Bracketology. Ergo, it could not be secured for one person, me. But
gotcha.
I was okay with that so long as nobody else got it and I was able to use it. And, now it's in the dictionary. And
it is. It's part of
I'm giving
language.
Credit for that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I can take that to the bank, and it's too long a word to put on my tombstone. So I guess we'll just have to live with, this 15 minutes of fame I get every year around this time.
We are, of course, talking to Joe Lenardi, ESPN Bracketologist. There's a new book coming out, Bracketology, March Madness, College Basketball, and the Creation of a National Obsession. Certainly, if you are a college basketball fan, it is a book you need to get. And then, obviously, Joe, we have a lot of listeners who are quite interested to hear your opinion about the University of Memphis and its path to an NCAA tournament berth. Now, we know they started the season 6-5. It did not get off to the start that certainly Penny Hardaway hoped it would. They're 62nd in the net today. In your opinion, what does the path to the NCAA tournament look like for the University of Memphis?
Been studying this whole thing in the American for a while, three weeks, because it's very unusual the way it has shaken out this year, with Houston kind of being head and shoulders ahead of a group of three teams, Memphis among them, Memphis, Wichita State, SMU, that I think a lot of people coming into the year, particularly in the case of Memphis, would have said, these teams are going to be at least in contention for an NCAA bid, if not, pretty solidly in the field. But what has happened, until last week when Wichita State finally clipped Houston, none of those teams, well, first of all, a lot of them haven't even been able to play Houston because of pauses and schedules and the pandemic. And then when they have had the chance, they haven't beaten them. So, in the case of Memphis, they haven't beaten a team that's in the tournament. Their best wins are Wichita State and SMU at home. I would imagine that's what the fans think. And, they've had one game with Houston that didn't happen. One that we hope will happen, I guess that's on the last weekend or last day of the regular season. And I just don't think there is a path for Memphis without beating Houston, because it's the biggest chit that they can get, and really the only chit that would move the needle. So whether they beat him in that regular season game or draw them, in the semis or the championship game of the American Conference Tournament, that's going to be, a must game for the Tigers. And certainly if it's in the championship game of the conference tournament, well, then you're playing for a bid, and it doesn't, you don't have to talk about your at-large chances, right? Mm-hmm. It's wins, and you're in. And at that point, it's 40 minutes to your target. And then you control it.
Joe, Memphis had two very important ones specifically postponed. You mentioned the first one, the Houston one, which we've all said, man, they and Penny has said it yesterday, they really want to get that one back and play it. But I wonder, too, that Wichita State game on the road, which would be a quad one opportunity for Memphis, should that be, Penny's talked about wanting to get both of those, but feeling like, look, there may be only a chance to get one, but should that be a priority for them? How much does having a win at Wichita State, a team they beat by 20 but it's clearly gotten better since then. We've seen where they're at. Does that help the case? Should it be a priority for them to get that one back on, or are they better off just focusing on getting Houston back and living with the 20-point win you've got over Wichita State already?
No, I think that they need as many opportunities as they can
get. Wild ones, yeah. Yeah.
To move the needle. Now, understand that what's good for Memphis may not necessarily be the best path for the conference in rescheduling games. And I don't have any inside information here. I'm not in that room. But, you know, they've got Wichita now sitting right on the edge.
Yep.
They're leading the league, you know, by percentage points, so they're quote-unquote in the field as an AQ, automatic qualifier. But, you know, because they have a win over Houston that none of the other league contenders do, in a way, playing Memphis would be a dangerous thing for Wichita.
Absolutely.
So like, you know, if I'm suddenly king of the American, which is certainly different than being king of America, I sit there and I go, what's the best for me in protecting possible tournament bids for the league? And then I'm not so sure that there's a clear way forward.
So just to bottom line it on yeah. Memphis, Joe, what we have sort of been saying on the show here, and we don't do this day in and day out like you do, but our sort of operating premise has been if Memphis beats everybody else on their schedule this season, including tonight at Tulane, and then beats Houston at the end of the season, then gets to the conference championship game, and let's just say they lose, of course. We've said that will likely be good enough for Memphis with the win over Houston. Do you agree with that, or do you part with that?
No, I think I wouldn't say it's a lock because I don't know what the path is through the conference tournament.
Right, sure.
Right? Like, however unlikely it might be, like, you're almost assuming that they're losing to Houston.
Right,
in that
true,
game.
True.
Right? It wouldn't necessarily
be. Point.
Like, yeah. Suppose Houston loses its semi to SMU or Wichita, right?
Yes.
And then you're playing essentially another
yep.
bubble team in what could be viewed, particularly given the fact that that game is Sunday afternoon.
Yep.
At least as scheduled currently. That could be viewed as an elimination game. Right, they're going to put on the board American winner, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I wouldn't say it's a lock. And, of course, there's the really, really off chance. You know, suppose you're playing East Carolina in that game.
Yep.
Right? Now,
yep.
I may have a better chance of getting a call from Kate Upton, you know, than that happened. You know what? I have a call coming in, and it says, no, never mind.
The book, you know, is popular.
So it's. I mean, I love you guys, but
right.
yeah. So lots and lots yeah. of hypotheticals. So to me, the road includes beating Houston. Period. Without that, we're really not talking about moving the needle.
I wonder this, Joe, from Houston's side. You talked about Memphis sort of being a threat to Wichita State at this point. Should Houston, which has done some damage, obviously, to its resume here, last five games, dropped two of them, and particularly it's who they lost to, right? Should they want that other game against Memphis, you know, to get – or have they played themselves down now? I think they were three in your latest bracket to a point where, you know, playing Memphis twice and beating them twice potentially doesn't move you back up.
Yeah, I guess you could say that, but, you know, what are we really talking about here? Like, for Houston, they've been a two, now they're a high three,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to fall in that range. If I'm them, I'm more interested in an opportunity to move up to a two
right.
than I am worried about falling to a four. Because, I mean, sports is all about embracing, like, improvement, right? Not, like, playing not to lose, if you will. And, you know, I still think, by and large, their best chance is to be a two or a three.
Mm-hmm.
So either way, you're not bracketed with the one. So I would say, and Kelvin Sampson has been great about this, including participation in the conference tournament. Like he's saying,
right.
Let's just play.
He said play, right.
And he's right. So let's applaud that.
Hey, Joe, great stuff. Congratulations on the book. We know you're ripping and running.
Thank you, Joe.
Thanks so much for the time here in Memphis.
You got it, fellas. Thank you.
Yep, he is Joe Lenardi. Of course, you know him. You love him. Bracketologist for ESPN. He's got a brand new book that is coming out here very soon, which is, you know, obviously about college basketball and just sort of his role in it. Always appreciate his time. And I think there, Jason, he put it into pretty plain terms. He seems to feel like Memphis has a shot, but it will depend on what that path in the conference tournament looks like.
I was actually a little bit surprised at how the level of optimism he had that Memphis would make it just based on what's in front of them getting to the conference tournament with one win over Houston. I said I'd still be sweating on Sunday. Joe, like he said, it wouldn't be a lock even if you got lost to Houston in the finals, but he seemed to feel pretty good about it. And to me, that was encouraging to hear him say that, because that's doable, feels like, for Memphis.
That's right.
That path.
Need help there, though, right? Like, you need Houston to get to that championship
that's
game.
Part of it. And listen, Houston sort of had its mulligans here late. Like, you'd expect them to mow down the competition at the AAC tournament.
Yeah.
You'd expect. Because, again, there's something to be, for them, they're trying to make a run here, 2-3 seed, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You can't have a letdown in the conference tournament if you're trying to get back up to the 2 line.
Good point.
Which they've fallen off of, and it's clearly got to be the goal for them right now.
No, you need Houston to
So you can't let up.
Kick
Houston,
ass.
Keep they gotta hit. They got to hit the gas.
Be awesome.
Right, now.
Right.
Houston's got something to play for right now. That's
the other. Because you need that win to look as good as possible, too. If you get it, right, which we all agree you have to get it.
So Houston's going to get there.
Yeah.
Right.
They hope.
Hopefully they've had their, like I said, had their couple of mulligans with the losses.
So
East Carolina and Wichita State.
Is it a for sure?
Till they
thing
play
that,
Memphis,
is it a for sure thing that Memphis and Houston are going to be on opposite sides of the bracket? I mean, we know that. I mean, what if Houston and Memphis play each other in the semis?
Well, it really depends on what Wichita State has left, because they're the ones sitting there with what, 2 losses in conference.
Yeah,
you and Houston both got you need them to come down, so you're going to need Wichita State to get something else on that schedule, John. Because right now, what's left if they don't play Memphis? What is it? It's not much. I'll tell you right now. It's Temple. It's Tulane and Temple.
That's it. Yeah.
And so where's the loss for them? How do you get above them? So you could we'll see how this seeding shakes out. There's a good chance Wichita State, if they don't get Memphis rescheduled, they're going to end up number 1 in the conference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting stuff.
Percentage point.
Appreciate Joe Lenardi for joining us on the show today. We got a lot more to come. The All-Star reserves were announced yesterday. We're going to get into all of that with Ben Golliver. No Ja Morant. I think we expected that over the last couple of weeks. He had a shot there. You know, he got a lot of votes from the fans. I think, which sort of gives you an indication of how he's going to be relevant in the All-Star discussion for years to come. But he did not make the cut this year. That's okay. We'll get into all of that with Ben Golliver at 1:25. Back in a minute, Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.